But let's look in Acts chapter 20, and we'll begin to read in verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thanking you again and that for another wonderful, wonderful time, and that to be in your house. And Lord, we thank you for saving grace. And Lord, thank you that I've been able to experience saving grace and what it means and know about living grace and experience it. And I'm glad that, Lord, that there is a day there'll be dying grace. And Lord, we just pray today that now that while we preach that you would help us, and Lord, that you would just help our mind and our heart and that to be focused and that upon heaven. And Lord, that you'd touch us and anoint us afresh from heaven today. And Lord, that we would preach what you'd have us to preach with no fear or favor and that of men or women today. And Lord, I pray that it would just not only be in the hearing of these folks, but that it would be in their heart today. And Lord, that it would make a difference in their life. Lord, we're just not up here to preach just to preach, but we're up here to try to help these dear people today. Now, Lord, I pray if there's one here lost, save them, bring them to a place of repentance. And Lord, help the one that might have a need. Lord, the one that might need to draw close, I pray they'd come today. And Lord, just draw close to you. Help us now again. We're begging for help. Lord, help us preach as a dying man to dying people. And Lord, we'll give the glory for it all. Save that sinner that's near his tail for these things. In Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen. And amen. Be seated this morning. As we look in Acts chapter 20, Paul, as he is coming to the, he's at the church at Ephesus at this time as we're reading this passage of Scripture. As a matter of fact, he is going to Jerusalem. And he believes as he goes to Jerusalem that he'll never see these people again. He don't know what's going to happen when he gets there. But he does tell them on his way out. He tells them there in verse 27. He said, I've not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God unto you. I've preached everything that God has gave me to preach. And then he said, you need to feed the flock of God that he has purchased, that Christ has purchased with his own blood. And thank God for Miss Linda singing that this morning, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. But there were going to be those that would come in and try to destroy and that the church after the Apostle Paul and that left. And I want to preach this morning out of these verses, having a thought, and maybe we can reconcile all this today, but having a thought on the health of the church and your spiritual health today. Now, I'm going to tell you that by way of introduction, that friend, if you don't listen, if you don't heed the whole counsel of God, in other words, all the Word of God, your spiritual health is going to be in shambles today. Listen, you and I need the Word of God. That's why he said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I believe it was, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And so we also find right here in verse 28 that he tells him and that to feed the church of God in which he hath purchased with his own blood. But doctrinally, let me say this, that doctrinally, friend, tells us a lot about the health of the church and tells us a lot about your spiritual health. What do you mean doctrinally? Listen, that word doctrine simply means that which is taught. He also said over in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it was, he said, preach the word of God, be instant in season, out of season, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting with all what? Long suffering and doctrine. He tells us that all Scripture was given by inspiration of God, and the very first thing that is profitable for is for doctrine. Now, I'm not being legalistic this morning. That's not what I'm talking about. A lot of folk, they know what the Word of God says, and they put on a persona, or they put on a fake life, if you let me say that, as to what the Word of God says. But on the inside, and how they live, is no different. Amen? There's something wrong with you if you're like that today, amen. Whatever you say you are, that's what you need to be. But I want to look at the health and that of the church. I want to look at the health and that of this church today, and your spiritual health. Now let me say that if you're healthy, then you feel good, right? Amen. When I'm healthy, I feel good. Well, do you feel good right now, preacher? Not all the time. Amen. Listen, I'm probably not all that healthy if the truth was to be known. Carrying around some weight that I don't need to be carrying around. Hey, can I tell you today quickly, that friend, when you're carrying weight around that you don't need to be carrying around, it'll make you unhealthy. Do you know that today? Hey, he said in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, he said, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. I believe those two things are different because he qualifies them different. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. I believe there is a besetting sin that can cause problems in your life. But I also believe that there's some weight, friend, that we carry around as God. Hey, listen, friend. Jesus, if you're saved, he's forgave you. Sometimes you just need to forgive yourself. Amen. I mean, if he's forgiven you of your sin and forgiven you of your past, some people, they just hold on to the past and they just can't let it go. They can't let go of what somebody done to them. I mean, they're just, you know that I've wanted to keep a grudge on people or with people. I've wanted to. And you know, the Lord just won't let me do that. But you know, when you hold on to that grudge, you're holding on to that weight. And just can't turn loose of it, can't let it go. You said, well, do I have to be happy that somebody doesn't? That ain't what I'm talking about, friend. But I know that grudges bring bitterness. And Brother Larry preached on that a long time ago. But listen, let me get started here. I want to preach on the health of this church. Now, when somebody gets sick, that word sick, if you look it up, it actually means nauseated or squeamish. Has your stomach ever become nauseated? You know, what is the first thing that happens a lot of times? When you get sick, what happens? You lose your appetite, don't you? Hey, can I tell you, if you want to see the health and that of any church, and this church in particular, look at its appetite. Look at whether we desire and that the Word of God. What did he say in verse 28? Boy, we're getting excited this morning, ain't we? Amen. Listen, he said what? Feed the church of God. Feed it. I'm commanded to feed you, give you what God has gave me. But you know, when somebody gets sick, they become nauseated, they become squeamish, they become diseased, if you'd let me say that. And listen, Paul warns and says right here in verses 29 and 30 that there's going to be some from the inside and some from the outside that's going to come in. Not only are they going to wreck the church or try to wreck the church, but no doubt they're going to feed you something that you don't need. Can I say today that churches have had a fundamental shift in what they want to eat?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't go everywhere and preach like I do standing behind this pulpit. They won't take it. I know that. I understand that. And I realize that. I'm not tooting my own horn, but I know what I believe and I know how I preach. Amen. And not everybody wants to hear what the Bible has to say. Some wants no substance at all. You know, if you lose your appetite completely, there's something wrong with you. Would you not say that? I mean, is it not natural to want something to eat? Hey, I was hungry when we come out of Sunday school. You say, preacher, if you'd preach fast, you can go eat fast. Amen. I'd love to go eat right now. Amen. Hey, I know one preacher, he was having camp meeting he was up on the stage and in the middle of the camp meeting, one preacher was preaching and he gets up and he leaves about 15 minutes before church let out. And the members sitting out in the congregation, they seen their preacher get up and leave. And they said, oh, our preacher must not be feeling well. He had to go home. And as they leave leave on that Sunday morning and go to the restaurant, who do they meet coming out of the restaurant? Well, their preacher with a toothpick in his mouth. Amen. He was hungry and left and went and got something to eat. Say, now listen, there's something wrong if I was to do that. Amen. But listen, it's unnatural for you not to be hungry. I heard of one preacher. They was two preachers preaching meeting together, and they were staying in the same hotel room. They were getting ready for bed. And one of them looked at the other one, and he said, "Man," he said, "I forgot to eat today." And that other one looked at him. He said, "How do you forget to eat? I mean, how do you forget to eat? You don't forget physically to eat, do you? Let me ask you something. How do we forget to eat spiritually? How do we forget to open our Bible through the week and read? How do we forget to come on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night? How do we forget to do it? How do you sit there and let the Scripture go in one ear and out the other and just go home no different than what you come in here, friend? There ought to be a difference when you come in. But there's a fundamental shift, even in Bible-believing churches. I'm not angry and not mad this morning. I'm wanting to look at our head. This morning. And see, to find our health, you must look at you personally today, you see. Some are slipping away from Bible preaching and Bible teaching. A little here and a little there, you know. They might get a little here and a little there, but I'm going to tell you, a little here and a little there is better than nothing. But friend, it'll bring no strength in that to your life. If you ate just a little, you would be wore out, would you not? If you were going to try to work, if you was going to try to do something, but folk are slipping away. As I said, there is a fundamental shift. The very core, and that in this church, friend, is built up on this book right here. But if we ever begin to slip away from it, then our spiritual health is going to decline, and we'll be better than nobody else out there that has forsook the Word of God. I'm concerned, I'll be honest with you. And the reason I'm concerned is because I see that churches are falling away. Good churches are falling away from Scripture. It does not matter what I think Scripture says. It matters what it says. Amen. You follow what I'm saying?
Amen.
We can twist it. We can rest it. We can make it say what we want to say to justify our sin, to justify what we want to do. But friend, when the rubber meets the road, if you let me say that, it just matters what God said out of His book. And that's what we ought to be eating this morning. But folk are slipping away, and that from Bible preaching and from Bible teaching. We're slipping away from Spirit-filled music, Spirit-filled singing, and Spirit-filled music. By the way, there is a difference, by the way. There is. I'll be honest with you. I agree with what Brother Ricker said. If it don't sound like it come out of this Redback book right here, I'd probably leave her alone, friend. These songs are different than what the world has. Hey, when this choir gets up here and sings, you ain't going to hear none of that on secular music. You ain't going to hear the old hymns, friend, and that in secular music today. Hey, but when you listen to that stuff and listen to those hymns, it ought to do something for you, friend. But we're slipping away from Spirit-filled singing. Singing about paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. I remember when I was a kid, I remember my uncle used to sing that song, "I Know a Man Who Can," and my wife and Miss Sarah still sings that song, "I Know a Man Who Can." We heard Sister Josephine and Brother Worth sing "God's Only Son" last night on recording. That's how me and my wife learned to sing that song, was from listening to them. Listen, them songs are good songs, Spirit-filled songs, but you know what? We're slipping away. We're slipping away. Can I tell you, it does matter what's on your radio.
Amen.
It does matter what's on your TV.
Yes.
It does matter what's on your phone.
Amen.
Because whatever you're feeding yourself is going to affect your health. You understand what I'm saying? If I ate junk food all the time, I'd be fatter than I am now. Amen. If I ate stuff that, we went up to Dinner Bell last night. And after the funeral, and man, that stuff is so good, but it ain't all good for you. And I should have just ate a salad and quit. But I ate a salad in the middle of all that dinner. I ate a salad, but I'll tell you, all that stuff ain't good for you. Boy, it tastes good, but it ain't good for you. And see, that's what folk are wanting today. They're wanting something that tastes good, but ain't good for you. And so, do you know that some things that are good for you don't taste all that good? Now, my wife knows that green beans are good for her, but she ain't going to eat them. Now, Miss Lydia back there will eat green beans. We found that out last night. And she said, I love green beans. I thought, well, man, teach my wife how to do that. Amen. How to love them things. Man, they're good for you. You know, things that are good for you will generally help your health. But we don't want a lot of that stuff. And so we don't want a lot of what comes out of this book to help us. Listen, he said, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, feed the church of God. It does matter what you eat. Hey, listen, a lot of folk are slipping away. I know we need the gospel. I understand that. I know that the gospel is needed in this church. It's needed out in the world. It's needed in all church. Hey, listen, Paul said, for Christ not sent me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Listen, that's the preacher's job, is to preach the gospel. He said, do the work of an evangelist. That's what he told me to do. That's what he told every pastor to do. Do the work of an evangelist. What does that mean? That means to evangelize and go win lost folk to Jesus Christ. But there also comes a point that we not that we'll forsake the gospel, not ever leave the gospel of what Christ has done for us. But can I tell you, there is more in this book past the gospel. There is in this book that teaches us how to live holy and how to live right, how to serve Christ and how to please Christ. But the health of this church depends on what you eat. If I only ate twice on Sundays and once on Wednesdays, I might be thin, but I wouldn't feel good. I would probably not be in the best health in the world if I just ate twice on Sundays and once on Wednesday. That's all some of you just got. So, preacher, you're acting like we don't read our Bible. Let me put it to you like this. If you read your Bible at home and you spend time and stay down, I'm not talking about you. Don't get upset with me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about you if you don't study. I'm not about you if you're not reading. Because, listen, your spiritual health is declining. And in a day and age when you need all the spiritual health and all the spiritual upliftment that you can get, you need to be reading your Bible. You need to be studying. Listen, there needs to be preaching. There needs to be living, and that against sin and worldliness. Folk don't want to be told. You know, I don't want to be told that I'm wrong when I'm wrong. Isaiah chapter 58, he said, cry loud and spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. If you get mad at me, can I say this morning? If you get mad at me, you won't be the first one to ever do that. I know that. I mean, I'm not guessing at that. I know that. But I will tell you this, there's one thing that you should be able to say about your pastor, about your preacher, is he's told me the truth.
Amen.
Told me the truth. Hey, listen, my job is not only to point you to Christ Jesus the Lord and tell you what He done at Calvary and that He can save your wretched soul from a devil's hell, from eternal lake of fire, but listen, that I'm to cry out and spare not and show you your sin. Amen.
Amen.
That's my job. When I feed, I'm to show where some things might be wrong. Ezekiel put it like this, as Israel was backslid on the Lord, he said, thou hast despised mine holy things and hast profaned my Sabbath. They didn't want anything and that to do with the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 22 said, and her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, and saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. If I get outside of this book, somebody ought to stand up and say, preacher, you're wrong. You need to either get in the book or sit down. One or the other, amen. Somebody ought to do that. It is important what you eat. It is important what you take in at your house. It is important. Why? Because your spiritual health is going to affect the health of this church.
Amen.
It's going to affect it. What do you mean? This church ought to have, I'll be honest with you, we ought to have power with God. We should. We should have power with God. I'm not saying that He ought to come down every time that the song sings, every time that the choir sings, but I'm telling you right now that when the invitation is given, friend, there ought to be enough conviction in this place that God can move on folk and folk would move for Him. There's something wrong. Something wrong. I've been thinking about this here lately. Remember when the Lord used to come by and visit with us some more than what he does now? He said, Lord visits with us. He does. I know he does. But there was a time when the Lord would just seem like he'd come by all the time. What happened? Something has changed, you see. Now, the Lord don't change. He said, I'm the Lord and I change not, you know. Oh, ye sons of Jacob, therefore you're not consumed. At least he's talking about his mercy. But he don't change. So if the Lord used to come by and visit with us, and he don't come by on a regular basis like he used to, then what has changed? Man, I can tell you, I can remember a time when the prayer room used to be full on Sunday night. Now, if we've got two or three men down there praying and that for the service, we're doing good. Something wrong. I'm just saying. I'm looking back at what was taking place. But let me ask you, when the Lord would meet with us, how much time did you spend in prayer and time in that vision with the Lord through the week? I've told you this before. I can remember when me and Brother Bud, years ago, we used to come in here on Saturday morning around 8:30, 9 o'clock, and he'd get on one side of the mourner's bench and I'd get on the other side, and we'd just pray for the church. That's what we done. We just come in here, we gathered up, and we just pray for the church. We may not be here 10 minutes, but we made an effort not to come to pray for the church. But our health has declined. Something has happened. It's like we've got some untempered mortar in our life. Don't want to eat. He said, preacher, I'm still doing the same thing that I was doing back then. That is great. Keep doing it. Whatever it was, keep doing it. Again, I'm not talking to you. I don't want you to think, man, he's just beating up on us. No, I'm not. Be honest with you, I'm a little worried about things. Because health has started to decline. And I have to look at my own self at that situation. I try to get in my study. That is one of the privileges that I have as being a full-time pastor, is I do have time to pray and I have time to study through the week. And I try to get in my study and I try to seek God and try to pray. And sometimes I might get in touch with heaven. I believe I get in touch with heaven all the time, but you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes I feel like that they're not getting there. Sometimes I feel that way. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like your prayers just ain't, I'm not even talking about getting to the ceiling. I'm talking about they ain't even getting out of your heart, let alone to the ceiling. You ever feel that way? Now, I'm glad that the Lord looks at our heart and he knows. He knows. He's paying attention. He's watching. But there's some things that is concerning me. I'm not talking about the times that maybe we shout. I'm just talking about the times when God would just seem and that to come by. And when folk needed something, they could get something. But maybe today we've become too concerned with worldly things versus spiritual things. And so we're feeding on things of the world and not things of the Heavenly Father. He told him, Paul did, to feed the church of God. It does matter what you eat, by the way. There's even become a fundamental shift, and not in this church because of what I'm about to say. I know for a fact it's not that way, but there has become a fundamental shift of what men want to feed. Not only is there a fundamental shift, a deep-rooted change in what folk want. A lot of folk just want to come to church and go home. But then there is a lot of men that are satisfied and that to just let that happen. I'm not satisfied with that. I'm not satisfied with you just coming in and me preaching some kind of sermon. Somebody asked me last night at the funeral home, said, are you going to preach them a sermonette in the morning? I said, yep, I'm a Christianette, preaching a sermonette while smoking a cigarette. You know, I mean, hey, only kidding. This is far from a sermonette, I hope. And I ain't smoking cigarettes either. But there's a fundamental shift, not only in what folk want, but in what men want to preach. Some men are more concerned about their, and I said this word a few minutes ago, some men are more concerned about their persona or how men or how others perceive them than really feeding the church. I would rather you hate my guts, but walk out of there and say, He gave me what God wanted me to have. I didn't like it, but He gave me what God wanted me to have, is to walk out of here and shake my hand and say, Preacher, that was a good sermon, and never be a change in your heart. I'd rather have that. Again, my job is not only to feed you, but it is also to protect you and to protect this church at all cost. I do not have an agenda. The only agenda I have is to feed this church, protect this church, and see it grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my agenda this morning. My agenda is not to have a great big name. My agenda is not that folk would know where Unity Baptist is. My agenda is not how folk can say, man, he is a great preacher. Hey, there are men that can preach circles around me. But I doubt that you're going to find anybody that loves you more than I do. Loves your family more than I do. I'm not tooting my horn. I'm wanting you to get an understanding of what your pastor thinks about you and this church this morning.
Reach on, brother.
I want you to grasp that understanding. I'm concerned about the health of you and your family and this church this morning. I remember when I was 19 years old, laying up in the hospital up in Knoxville. And I was sick. Oh, man, I was sick. They had let strep throat get away from them. I had strep throat, and they let that get away from them, and it turned into mono. And, man, that mono caused my liver and my spleen both to swell, caused hepatitis. Man, I mean, I was sick. And I remember laying on that gurney as they rolled me in to the bedroom in there, into the hospital room, and Daddy was a-fixing my hair. And he was rolling it over to the side. And he was trying to be funny. And he was trying to be funny for a reason. He said, son, you're getting some receding hairline. And a fella laying there that's sick really didn't want to hear that. But he was making jokes because he was worried. He was concerned for my health. You see, because man, they had let things get so far away from them that it was hard to get it pulled back, get it reined back in. You know, when you let things get so far away from you, doctrinally, it's hard to rein that stuff back in. It's, hey, when things, I'm going to deal with this here in a minute, when things begin to take place in the church that don't need to take place, it is hard to get that reined back in. And it takes a lot of extra special effort on everybody's case to make that happen. Can I tell you that not every preacher standing in the pulpit this morning has the people's interest at heart, spiritual interest at heart while they're preaching?
Amen.
3 John verse 9 said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among you, receiveth us not. Diotrephes wanted to have the preeminence, not Christ Jesus the Lord. He didn't want Christ to have the preeminence. Listen, Christ Jesus the Lord hung at Calvary. Listen, He hung on an old rugged cross, friend, so that me and you could get saved. But you know, after we got saved, we ought to want to serve Him.
Amen, brother.
To the best of our ability. Our health spiritually matters. What we eat matters. But he said, Diotrephes loves to have the preeminence, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. So he had some malice about him. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. I heard a story about that just the other day about a preacher. That's pretty well done that. You can tell the health of a church by what's being preached out of the pulpit and by what's being led by the people. You can tell the health of that church. Can I tell you that what you eat can keep sickness away? You ever heard that old saying, an apple a day will keep the doctor away? You ought to try that sometime. There's some truth to that. There really is some truth to that. What you do eat can keep sickness away from you. But you know that if you eat the wrong food, it can actually not only make you sick, but it can kill you. 2 Kings chapter 4, the Bible said in one, now we're talking about the prophets over here. They were gathered together, and one of them went to the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. There's a lot of death in the pot for a lot of people today because they're partaking of the wrong thing. If you're taking of worldly, you know, no man can serve two masters, either love one, hate the other, cling to one, or despise the other. For no man, he says, because either how did he put it over there at one point? He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Listen, you can't serve the world and try to serve God at the same. It will not work. And listen, what you're taking in spiritually does matter. And what's coming into your life out of this screen, you tell me I can't watch TV or listen to the radio. Hey, I'm telling you, if it's worldly, if it's wicked, you need to stay away from it. That's what I'm telling you. It's going to affect you spiritually. I quit watching them murders, and I like a good murder mystery. I really do. I like them things. I love to watch them. But I had to quit. Why? It affects your mind. Now you watch enough people get killed and them try to go out there and try to solve what I was... That stuff can get a little gory sometimes, can't it? And especially they make it look so real sometimes. Now I'm just being honest right here right now, okay? How my mind, or maybe yours don't work this way, but I'm telling you, mind, it began to affect me. Pearl Hunter over here said that it made him wonder if he'd get away with murder or not. My wife got a little thing the other day. He says, Do what? If you live, be careful. Oh, you have the right to remain silent if you live in a pastor's house, for it might be used as a sermon illustration. So if you don't want it to come out of these pulpits, you better be careful sometimes. Hunter's my friend, I think. I hope so. He knows I don't mean nothing bad by it. But it affects you. Well, I'm telling you, worldly things affect us spiritually. Music, TV shows, friends you keep, places you go, things you do. He said there were some wild things right here put into the pot and they were going to eat them. Come to find out there was death in the pot. It was going to affect their health. My dad worked at Oak Ridge. I think he went there in 74. He went to work there in 1974. And one of the things that he was always concerned with is he never figured that he would live to be as old as he is out of all the hot stuff. They processed that uranium over at K-25, and that's where he worked at until they shut it down in the early 80s. And he figured out of all that hot stuff he was around over there that would have probably killed him. Because it did kill some men. It's got too hot for them. You know, there are certain things that gets in us. It's going to kill us. Talking about the health of the church. Talking about your health. Number two, can I tell you, and I see what time it is. I'm going to hurry, okay? Listen, do you know when sin ain't dealt with, it affects health? If there's sin in your life, listen, it's going to affect your spiritual health. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If there's sin in your life personally, it's going to affect you spiritually. But did you know that if there is sin in this church and it's public and it is open, listen, and it's not dealt with, it's going to cause problems? Now, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and look in verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much is named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. I mean, we went past fornication right here. I better be careful what I say right here. But this feller is either his mother or his stepmother. That's what's going on right here in this fornication. And in verse 2 he said, "And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he had done this deed might be taken away from among you." Paul said, look, you've not dealt with it. He says, matter of fact, you're puffed up in it rather than mourning. He said, this sin should have made you mourn. It should have broken the church, not spiritually, but friend, but how would you put it? There should have been some mourning and some repentance and that on the part of the person who done it. But there should be mourning and that of the church that this would be committed. He said, "For I verily is absent in body," verse 3, "but present in spirit, have judged already." So Paul made a judgment, "as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." He said, your glorying is not good. They obviously were glorying in this situation instead of dealing with this situation. The first thing he told them that they should have done was mourned. You know, when open sin must be dealt with, young preachers, and I had to learn this. I think I'm still young, but I'm not near as young as I used to be, okay? But they're always ready to church people. Churching people is the last thing you want to do. Withdrawing fellowship is the very last step that needs to be committed. The first thing to do is to mourn that sin was committed. Mourn. Hey, listen, when there is open sin in the church, we ought to be brokenhearted. That whoever done it. It ought to break our heart for them and for us both that thing got committed. And in order to remind us, in Galatians 6, he said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." We need to remember that we can be just as guilty as anybody else. So the very last thing, I'm not going to start here, and that with withdrawing fellowship, that's the last thing. But what hurts the health of the church is when it's not dealt with. You've heard me make this statement more than once. If you just keep sweeping stuff under the rug, it causes a hump in the rug, and you're going to trip over that hump. I hate to say this. There has been times when we have swept the floor. My wife, we've got a big old rug in our living room. Coffee table sits on it, and it goes from one couch to the other, and it's almost from one end of the, I was about to say from the carport to the other, but we don't live in the carport. But from the living room to the other. But you know, every now and again when we sweep, we just sweep around it. But you know, if you take that thing and flip it up, you find all kinds of stuff under there. Stuff's kind of got kicked up under there as we've went. We'll work on that later, won't we? Didn't know that would do that. Do you know if you just keep sweeping it under the rug here, it's going to create some health problems. It's going to create some health issues. How's it going to create health issues? Now, I'm not saying that I wouldn't withdraw fellowship from people. I'm just saying that man, I'd lay in my bed and weep and cry. I'd cry through the day. I'd beg them to get right with God. I do everything. Like I told you, I've wanted to be mad at people. And I am mad at people, I guess, at sometimes that want to know better about some things. And want to hold a grudge. But you know, right here, I believe this old boy, they really hadn't dealt with him about getting right. They were puffed up about it. They hadn't mourned about it. As a matter of fact, Paul told them over here that their glorying was not good. He told them to purge out the old leaven with a new lump. And he said, look, but you're going to have to deliver him over to Satan. Now, if you go to 2 Corinthians, you'll find that that boy wanted to get right with God, and they wasn't going to let him. And Paul had to tell him, you're going to have to let him get right with God. If that's what he needs to do and wants to do, then you need to let him get right with God. Hey, we can't stand in anybody's way from getting right with God. Why would we do it? Well, they don't deserve to get right. Sure, they deserve. Again, put yourself in their shoes. You know why you keep your children away from certain things and certain people? It's because their life is at stake. Their spiritual life is at stake. Sometimes their physical life is at stake. And it's the same in here. I have to pay attention as to what's going on. There's things at stake in here. Had a young lady come in one time. She was shacking up with a feller and wanted to sing and testify. And I didn't have a lot of time to make up my mind as to what I was going to say, but I knew what I was going to do. I didn't know exactly what I was going to say, but I knew what I was going to do. You think I let her testify and get up here and sing, even though she's shacking up with somebody? You know why I didn't do that? One, the scripture said not to. You shouldn't be living in fornication. Hey, the Bible said that marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. I didn't let her do that. Wasn't going to let her do that. But because it wasn't right. But you know why else I didn't do that? You know why? You see this young lady sitting over here, these two blonde-headed girls right here? That's why. You see this one right over here? She wasn't even married at the time. That's why. Had too much at stake sitting in here. There was way too much at stake to say there's nothing wrong with that and just let sin go on and say, I just don't want to deal with it. We'll just bury our head in the sand and whatever happened, happened. Nope, not going to do it. Too much at stake in here. Y'all following what I'm saying? Y'all follow what I'm saying? There's too much at stake to let sin roll on without dealing with it, you see. It's going to affect the church. It's going to affect the health of the church. There are consequences. There are consequences of not dealing with sin. There's consequences of not dealing with sin in your life. There's consequences of not dealing with sin in this church. You know, if you don't deal with cancer, what happens? You say, well, it's going to grow. And it'll probably kill me. That's right. Chances are it will. No different with not dealing with sin. Got to deal with it. It's going to get us. The health of this church determines on what's being preached and how sin is dealt with, how things are received. I mean, it just matters. But you know, if you deal with that cancer, and they get it, it may be rough. I know cancer. I know the type. I know using cancer as a type will fall apart because I know not everybody gets healed from it. I understand that. But I've also known them to go in and cut it out and put folk through treatment, and they're good to go. Hey, I worked with a fellow years ago, and man, when I was working with him, his mother had cancer 30 years prior to that, and they packed her with cobalt. And cured her of cancer. Now, I'd say the Lord had a little bit to do with that, if not a whole lot. But they packed her with cobalt. What I'm getting at is, it may be hard to deal with that stuff. It may be rough, and it may be something you don't want to do. But it's got to be done, because it's got to be taken out. It's got to be took care of. Last thing that I ever want to do would be to ever withdraw fellowship. If you go over to Matthew chapter 18, if there's something between you and somebody, he said, you go to them and them alone, you deal with it. He said, if they won't hear you, he said, you take somebody with you. If they won't hear you and somebody, he said, you bring it before the church. And he said, if they won't hear the church, he said, then okay, that's it. But you know, that's the last step, not the first step. And there's a lot of things in between. But the thing about this is it has to be dealt with. What's preached, what's taught, what's sung out of this church matters. Whether sin is dealt with out of this church matters. Because it's going to affect the health of this church. And I'm concerned about that. I want the Lord. You know, again, I go back to what David said. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I want Him to come by and visit with us. Don't you? I want Him to come by. I want Him to come by personally. I want Him to come by for the whole church while we're meeting. I want Him to come by. Let's bow our heads this morning if we would. Brother Caldwell, would you come up here and get the guitar? And Brother Jeff, if you would, we'll try for an invitation this morning. Maybe you need to come and pray. I don't know how your spiritual health is. I don't know. I've just brought to you just a thought that God's gave me this morning. Maybe you need to come and get some things right. Listen, whatever's in your heart between you and God, that's none of my business, friend. Did you know that? That's not my business. That's nobody else's business in your church, in this church, except between you and God. You can come and fix it. And maybe there's some sin that you need to deal with. Maybe the fact of, maybe you need to just come and draw closer. I don't know. I don't know. But I know that I'm concerned about the health of this church. And you know, somebody can take and make you a good plate of food and set it in front of you. But if you don't eat it, it ain't going to help you. Elijah was laying over there under the juniper tree. And God, having great mercy on Elijah, come over there and had him a cruise of water and baked him a cake while he was sleeping. And he woke up Elijah and said, "Elijah, you need to eat and you need to drink." That's what Elijah done. And then he fell back asleep. And God woke him back up again and said, "Elijah, you need to eat some more because you're going to have to go in the strength of this meat for 40 days. He said, "You've got a long journey in front of you." He said, "You got to eat." Friend, if you're going to have power with God, if you're going to have power with God in your home, power with God in this church house, we're going to have to eat. We're going to have to eat right. Or we're going to have to keep ourselves guarded. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help in this invitation. Lord, we just try to give what you've gave us this morning, what was on our heart that we believe that you put there. And Lord, the health of this church does matter, but it hinges on the health of each of us spiritually. And I pray, if there's some folk just needs to come and do business with you, I pray they'll do it this morning. If there's folk need to draw close, maybe somebody needs to get saved, I pray they'll come and get saved today. Lord, just to deal with their heart. Let them come and get right. There may be some folk just want to come and say, "Lord, just want to thank you. Just want to thank you," and just go back and sit down. I don't know what needs to happen. But Lord, whatever the need is, I pray you'd meet it this morning. Save that one that's unsaved. Help that one that needs to draw close. For these things in Jesus' name, amen.